There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
I'm your superhero brother and it's time to get down. I'll be hitting in the shadow undercover at night. Let my battle do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
There you go. Who needs a theme song right there?
That's the theme song for today. Welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Gaming. I have Charles McFall, Epic Boss McFall, coming at you. We're having some tech issues today, and I don't have the actual intro, but there we go.
You're really using that? This is really happening?
For the live. I'll put in the actual intro for the podcast.
Right, okay.
I don't have it, so hilarious. That works. Just let it happen.
All right. Okay.
All right.
I mean, everything was normal. Everything's perfectly normal here. No changes whatsoever.
We have so much fun. So we got a lot of gaming news to talk about, a lot of stuff going on. So, Ibby, why don't you throw in what we have to talk about? Our headlines.
Yes.
That's the word I'm looking for. Headlines.
Headlines. So, Spec Ops continues along, and Playdom makes a little bit of an adjustment. We'll talk about that. MA is bringing in our favorite former junkie superheroes. We're going to talk about those two in a moment. MA 2, Spec Ops 1 ends. I have not even gone in there to, I haven't even noticed that, honestly. So, but that's great. MA 2,
yeah, that happened. All right.
PvP is ending in a week. So if you've got the game, make sure to get up in the ranks so that you can get Miles Morales. There's also a new comic book coming out for MA2 and possibly worldwide release soon.
Nice.
Mm. And we'll talk very briefly about Marvel Avengers Academy. They are adding Pepper Potts to the game, and here's how you get her. But we'll talk about all that in just a few minutes. Before that, people have all this gold burning a hole on the side of their helicarrier where Falcon might accidentally fall through.
Damn.
Charles, what should they spend that gold on?
Well, I don't know about should, but there are plenty of great EISOs. Man, I bought a few as the PvP tournament ended, and it really felt good. I'm not saying it helped or didn't help. I don't know, but it fit my play style, and it felt good to add tons of that. So really, an EISO is what I'm recommending. Of course, we've got the Bruiser E3 suits that are now full price. You dare I say evergreen? I think they're evergreen, but they're now full price at 128
gold. Yes.
But so I was able to grab one before at half price. And then, of course, all the EA and AISOs are full price. Then we have, I think we talked about this last week, the Deathlock Fist, which is Deathlock set 404. It is the 64 gold weapon that goes along with the Spec Ops. And, you know, we did cover that. Mm-hmm. Then, man, I've been doing a few respins. And I got to say, stop it. Don't do the respins. Don't use your gold there. That's all I can say. But it was like,
the only time I'll consider a respin is if the refined ISO is one of the ones I use the most. So if it's the chaotic, the stalwart, the skillful, the steady, or the forceful or mercurial, then I'll consider doing a respin because that increases the number of items on that roulette that I'd want. Those are the ISOs that I use the most often. Obviously, you know, I'm wanting to get the, even getting like the Deathlock pieces, the research items is pretty good. But this early in Spec Ops, it does feel like it might be, I don't know, throwing your gold down a well. So
yeah, I actually didn't do it in Spec Ops. I did it in Chapter 10.
Trying
to get a weapon that fits with Novalanche.
Gotcha. So you needed it sooner. You needed it for your PvP playstyle. So that makes sense.
Yeah, still inexcusable because I got a middle finger prize for 5 gold. So I was like, oh, no, stop. Let's not do that anymore.
You pays your money, you takes your chances.
You know, there's something else that you could pay your money on and take your chances with.
Yikes. What's that?
That sounds a little scary, but it's actually not. It's our new partner, Loot Crate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, like you've got your buddies, right? You hang out with your buddies and you go on a trip, right? And you go for a while. You're maybe living out there or you're just hanging out and you get this care package in the mail, right? From your buddies. And it's like, oh, it's a little tiny piece of home, right? Like it's a little reminder of the things you love and the things you enjoy. Well, Loot Crate is like that. It's like getting a care package from somebody you love who you haven't seen for a long time with all the cool crap that you want.
Every month.
And what's really cool is if you've never had Loot Crate before, we can hook you up and we can hook you up with a discount. Should I whisper that? Because like it's. But Charles, how do they get that discount? What do they do? What URL do they need to go to?
Well, of course, it's monthly. It's less than $20 a month. I got to tell you, doing it 3 months at a time is good. I did it for a year. You save more money that way. But if you go to lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up, and then you also enter the code giant size team up, all one word, giant size team up, you get $3 off of any new subscription. It'll save you some money. Now, unfortunately, you have missed out on the Versus box because you had to sign up by March 19th to get the April box or the March box. It ships out now. So the theme this month was or is, I guess, technically Versus. I got to say, man, it was so tasty and tempting. Look at this. Celebrating some of the greatest rivalries in pop culture. Dark Knight versus Man of Steel. Alien versus Predator. Spock versus Mirror Universe Spock.
Oh, cool. Right? So the goatee. So basically, all they need to do is just give you like an action figure of Spock and then like send you a goatee as well.
Yeah, so you're the goatee. You're the evil Spock. There you go. Daredevil versus Punisher, of course, as we know with Daredevil going on right now. And Harley Quinn versus, well, just about everybody. So, of course, there's always an exclusive item. There's usually a comic book that has a specific variant cover on it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a T-shirt and a loot pin. And we don't know what the stuff is. We know what the themes are. We never know what the stuff is because that's the surprise. When I said you can take your chances, that's the surprise.
I have so much cool Loot Crate stuff on my desk. My little vault boy from Fallout is on my desk here. I've got the Batman. This thing is heavy, too. It's a Batman bottle opener. That's awesome. And this thing is like heavy. It's totally heavy metal. Oh, yeah. My Hydra pin. Also metal.
No, I've got that. That's on my badge for Dragon Con.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's perfect stuff for your desk, for gifts, for that stuff. So it's really, really cool. So check it out. It's Loot Crate, lootcrate.com/giant-size-team-up. Because that's us. And that'll get you started.
Mm. We actually have a shout out that I have to go back. Is it in my messages? So I just, as I saw what the next segment was, I'm like, oh, wait, somebody did say something about a shout out. Did I put it in the emails? Because, you know, I just zip and paste those things. Well, hey, here's a shout out to you, Mr. Man. Oh, here it is. It is in the email. It's agent/Commander Nork. He's Commander Nork on MAA2 and Agent Nork on MAA1. Can I get a shout out for hitting 300 on my secondary MAA profile? Apparently not, because I forgot who you were. Sorry, because I guess that makes me a double Spartan. I also hit Commander level 30 in MAA2 today. I think this actually came in today. So one last thing. I love that in MAA2, you can hit the skip button to skip the dialogue.
Yeah. We need that. We need that in MAA1. I don't even think about that anymore. It's like, it just, you know, once I've gone through a chapter or gone through a mission, it's like, oh, just hit the button. Done.
Yep. I think Playdom should put that in MAA1 since there are already examples of in MAA1 of skipping dialogue. I'm looking at you, Howard. Is it really that hard to put in shush story button?
Perfect. That's awesome.
So that one, I did actually put that in our email. So I'm going to move that to the top so we don't read it again. But yes, here's your shout out, Commander Nork. Thank you for writing in. And you don't have to hit Spartan. We realize that most people who are listening to us are already at the Spartan level. If you just want to shout out for anything, we'd love to hear from you. So just email us at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com and we'll shout you out.
Cool. We sure will. All right, let's get to these headlines here. First up is Spec Ops. Well, basically Spec Ops still going on. Spec Ops 33, if I remember correctly. And there's been apparently a lot of flack. Maybe it was happening on the forums. I saw a little bit of it in the Agents Only Lounge with regard to the difficulty level of Mission 1. And I think part of that difficulty is they're giving us a very specific group of characters to work with, many of whom are new and maybe haven't done any leveling with other than the flight deck, or haven't really gotten a lot of experience to figure out what their path is to, you know, in their fights. Like, all right, you always want to hit them with the Paragon Exploiter in number 4 or in their level 9. Yeah. After you do the bleeding and level their level 2 attack, et cetera. So there's that. Plus there's these stalker dinosaurs that have a proc that says may get another turn. And guess what? That seems to hit a lot. It's like a 1 in 6 or a 5 in 6 chance, 5 out of 6 chance that they're going to get another attack. And it's enough to wipe out a team if they get on a roll. And if you don't have enough defenses up. However, Playdom took pity, I guess, and had adjusted
compassion, perhaps.
Compassion, all right. Yeah. And have adjusted the difficulty level of Mission 1 to make it a little bit easier. It just appears really to be on the attack and defense levels of the enemies. I guess that's really all they could do, because it's not like they're all of a sudden going to give you the ability to bring in your agent or to change up the group of characters you can pick from. Boy, having the agent would be really nice, just to be
It'd
able
be
to
helpful,
have
for
one,
sure.
You know, one extra little resource of being able to use your items, your consumables, et cetera. But anyway,
we need a character that can access the agent stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That would be an interesting way to do it. Right. Like having a Coulson or something.
Yeah.
As a playable.
Well, you got two fun characters. You got Deadpool and you got Howard the Duck, who fourth wall breaking characters. And Howard the Duck, his whole second level power is the armory, right? Where he raided the armory and has all this stuff. I don't know. It seems like you could add just in the code. It wouldn't be a weapon. It would just in the code, in their little wording, it would say, can access agent's equipment. And then so the little box would be unlocked on the side there.
Right, right.
Although neither one of those would do any good in Spec Ops Mission 1.
Neither one of them is a camper.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, they've adjusted that. I think I went through Mission 1 twice so far, and I'm about to go through my third time because I'm waiting for my third research to complete. Just to see if I can get it 3-starred so I don't have to go back into it until I'm ready to 4-star it. But, we should also bring this up. I love this resource that, Pride909 in the chat room, Brian in the Agents Only Lounge found, which is the, bonus calculator, Avengers Alliance bonus calculator. Yeah. And, there's no, it's funny, they don't have they've got an IP address, but not an actual URL for it. If you go to 207.170.136/MAA, then that'll take you to the Avengers Alliance bonus calculator. We'll make sure, we've already talked about this in the Agents Only Lounge, we'll make sure that there's a link in the show notes. But what's cool about this is that normally for dailies, it'll tell you, all right, you know, you've got eggheads or mutants or flyers, and it'll tell you which combo has the best, gives you the best team bonus. Well, it's also been updated to have campers in it. And what's really cool.
Oh, did it really? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like the first item in there. So you can now say, okay, show me the best one with campers. I've got everybody that's listed, and I'm forced to use Chase Stein. So tell me the best combo that I can get. Well, if you use Nico, Victor Mancha, and Chase Stein, you get 11 team ups between the three. Wow. Three. So, I mean, that's a huge way to get an idea of at least some extra points you can get to kind of help maybe push you over the edge into the next star versus being in that first star, second star. So it's really cool. I put a link in the chat room as well. But this tool is so cool because there's also not just for dailies, but you can say all with agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then say, okay, give me a team up where the agent is required, but I do have to use.
I've been using it to pick a character I want to walk through with, like Colleen Wing, and then it pops yeah. in, you know, Howard the Duck.
Right.
Or when you go up against the boss battles and you have to use Deathlock or who have I had to use? Was it Quake? There's somebody that they team up with a lot of characters, but I don't have leveled up. So I ended up going, oh, look, Bucky Barnes is on the Winter Soldier is on the list. I'm going to use him. He doesn't have as many team ups, but he's level 15. And I know how to use him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So you can say, all right, yeah, who's the next up that I can use? It'll give me an advantage. So, it's really good. It's a really good resource. So if you don't have that bookmark, make sure you bookmark it. And like I said, we'll have a link to it in the show notes. That's helped a lot with mission one for me, because what I did was I took the highest team up that that was with the campers, which is that one I just mentioned, the Chase, Nico, and who did I say? Crap! Chase Stein, Victor Mancha, and Nico is the combo. Gets you like 11 team up bonuses. And so what I did is I just basically ISO'd those guys up, threw a couple EISOs on them that I had lying around, and getting through mission one is a breeze now. I still can't do the boss. Like if you know how you can three bird, I still cannot three bird the boss and the two mini bosses. Having Deathlock at Madam Mask and X-23 in one battle usually wipes out Cammy, who I can't do anything with. I can't ISO her up. I can't throw E-ISOs on her, whatever. Well, right?
Because she's Deathlock is a little tough little girl.
Oh yeah,
she puts despair on you. That snipe can take out any one of my heroes in one shot.
Yeah, yeah,
it's tough. I'm hoping she holds up when I recruit her.
I hope so too. I hope they don't nerf her down, but. Quick hint, by the way, from PokeProf says, here's a hint for the campers. If you're having energy issues, use Kamala Khan with the energizing ISO on her level 2. She'll give energy to everyone when that ability procs. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So build up your energy, your stamina that way. Once you do that with the isolate out the characters that you're kind of forced to use, really beef three or four of them up so you can cycle between them and you'll be way better off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I was fortunate to have Molly at level 15 and Victor Mancha at 15 and Nico at 15, even though I still don't understand how to play Nico. I just don't get it. So I avoided her, but I was usually able to field a pretty good team against them. Didn't have too much trouble there. So it was definitely helpful. And yes, having that resource.
Yeah, there, the bonus calculator
made cool. You get through two stars so much faster.
Right.
You know? And I still use it on every other mission that I go through just to make sure I get the points. Mm-hmm. Man, I am not having a good day. I just had the beetle kill Howard the Duck. It's like, what? Heifer? Why are you not dead?
No way could a beetle kill a duck.
No way. That's just stupid. So here's the thing with Spec Ops as well. People have already beaten it and gotten Cammy, and they're saying that her follow-up is broken. But what I understand, I haven't done a ton of research on it yet, but okay, so she'll follow up with her level 6 attack, basically. She flies up, kicks him in the face, but there's no damage. I don't know why, but if you really look at the description of her follow-up, she only follows up with Shield Slam and some other debuff. So it's a zero damage follow-up. I'm not sure if that's what they intended.
Isn't her level 6 the one that does the mines that you detonate later with the other, with her level 1, is it?
No, level 2 is a multi-level 1. All I know is I see her kick. She flies up, she kicks.
Yeah,
the symbol for her level 6 is her in the air with the kick. Mm-hmm. It's not the same attack, because her level 6 actually does damage. It's her follow-up. It says get off my lawn or something like that. I forget exactly what the phrase is that pops up when she follows up. But she put shield smash or shield whatever on herself, I think, and then the debuff on the other one, the character. But there's no damage, and that is very, very odd to see a follow-up with no damage.
Gotcha. By the way, yeah, it is the get off my lawn follow-up. It's an unlisted move, according to Napalm Don TV. And the Pokey Prof says that her follow-up is a completely different attack. So it isn't her.
It's not based on any of the things she does.
Right, right. It's a shield slam and a reduced potential. So that is a damage point free attack.
Let's see. So I thought it counters with reduced potential and shield slam. That's mm-hmm. Teenage Astro Girl. Gains grit when attacking, encounters. So her counter, it is odd, but I don't think it's broken. You know, and the Pokeprof's getting there as well. It says shield slam doesn't work. Well, don't you have to have the shield on to do shield slam? So if you haven't activated her shield before she did, I'm not mocking them. No.
That's a good point.
I'm slowly walking through it to make sure I don't say something stupid here. I don't know.
It does seem like one would need a shield to do shield slam. Yes.
Yeah, but also, it should do damage. Okay, so Agent Silver says her follow up does shield slam, which only affects the damage output, which means her counter follow up is pointless. Which I kind of agree. I mean, if you're not going to do damage on a counter or follow up, why would you have it? But mm-hmm. Punky Frost says he thinks it's broken, so I'll take that. That's fine. Yeah. Yes, we know there is. We didn't talk about it before because PvP was still active, but there is a major glitch with Electro.
Oh, we did talk about it with the level.
I thought we kind of held it to ourselves because we didn't want to encourage people to go out and break PvP.
I think, you know, we trust our listeners, right? No, we did talk about that on the last show, the fact that that he can freeze the game, basically.
Yeah. I thought maybe we left it, but, my Electro is level 9. Actually, my Electro is training up to level 11 right now. 12. Training to level 12 right now.
Wow, nice. Good.
Oh, man. He has got no fight time because simulator. Back to training, fool. Simulator. Back to training, fool. I love playing with him. He definitely is just, he's now my new favorite character.
And did I hear correctly that Playtum fixed the simulator issue? So even if you refresh after using the lower two simulators, you don't get those points back?
Because we mentioned it on the show.
I don't think that's why. Heard it. No, sure I don't think that's.
Woods, you know, when he had breakfast with me that day, he's like, damn, you guys, you shouldn't have talked about it. I'm sorry, man. I know.
We heard about it on various Facebook pages that we belong to before we even talked about it on the show. That's true.
But yes, they did fix that because I guess that is an exploit. I was exploiting the crap out of it for training purposes. And I did notice shortly after our last show, before PvP ended, that they were definitely throwing in they fixed it basically. It's like, wait a minute, I did low level battles. Why am I not getting my energy back? It's like, oh, you guys, you figured it out. Dang it. So yes. Right. So now it's just back to, if you can keep them alive, do the highest level training because you'll get the most experience the fastest.
There you go. That's the way to do it. All right. A new announcement that came out yesterday from our friends at MA Insiders. Cloak and Dagger, Tandy Bowen and Tyrone Johnson are going to be making their appearance finally in the game. Based on the artwork, I think the assumption is that it's going to be a dual character, kind of like Kazar, the way that's set up. And even though...
I want to see him pick her up and throw her like he throws the tiger.
That would be awesome. I think even though they spent a lot of time with Power Pack and New Mutants and the X-Men, Power Pack doesn't count in this, but that they're not mutants. So, you know, anyone is saying, well, I thought MA is not doing anything with mutants anymore, whether or not they are or not.
Okay, let's address that really, really quickly. We don't know what MAA and other games are going to be able to do and not do. We know that the movie and TV branch of Marvel cannot touch the word mutant.
Right.
We do know that they have, and they killed mutants in the comics, so we're not sure what they're going to do. We'll see. I really hope that they are allowed to stay out of that mess and that they remain mutants.
You know what, though? I take that back, because I remember it being drug related. Like there was a drug that triggered their abilities. So I guess they kind of are mutants, because it was, let me, I'm looking at Marvel.com right now. Yeah, here we go. So
they're enhanced is what Embradel says.
Yeah, right. During their escape, Tyrone found himself engulfed in darkness and seized by a strange hunger, which eased in the presence of Tandy, who was glowing with a brilliant light. Trying to hide his newly shadow appearance in a makeshift cloak, he began absorbing Marshall's thugs into his darkness, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. The duo, they befriended Power Pack and twice aided the New Mutants, junior trainees of the X-Men. The duo eventually learned that they were mutants themselves and that Marshall's drug had awakened their latent powers. So the drug may have triggered it, but technically they are mutants. There you go. Well, so
theoretically in the Marvel universe, the comic universe, as we saw in Deadpool, doesn't everybody have a latent mutant power? It's not, I mean, just only a handful come to fruition naturally.
No.
Teenagers. You don't think so?
No. No, though, I mean, you know, you get powers various ways, like whether it's a science experiment gone wrong or super soldier serum or, you know, whatever. Usually mutants are mutants.
Okay. No, I was just kind of reading into it because I thought they played with the whole DNA thing of we have so much DNA, we don't know what it does and blah, blah, blah. But so they were latent mutants. So there you go.
Right. Exactly. Late so anyway,
mutants.
So they're coming to the game. I believe did they reveal that it's going to be as part of a PvP reward? Is that right?
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
That it's a PvP dealio. Which I played them.
I'm in no hurry. Come on, people. Yeah.
Bastards. Yeah. So it's like, because I really am excited about them coming. I've been wanting them to be added to the game. One of my favorite appearances of theirs was in the Runaways and how they came out to kind of clean some things up and help things out. And you really get a good view of what happens when he absorbs people. It's really cool. And I'm very glad that they're going to be in the game. It's just, PvP is very touchy. So, and if you Plato, I swear to God, if you start this PvP in less than 7 days from now, I'm flying to California and then to Malaysia and just taking a dump in all of your toilets and your offices and not flushing because I need a break.
Didn't give him an upper decker, huh?
Yes, I am. I need a break, man. We'll get to it in a second. It was fine, but I think why? Why do you do this to us, man?
So. So anyway, there it is. Yeah, the next PvP hero reward is Cloak and Dagger. Kind of a little bummed that it's not two separate characters. Uncle George, I mentioned it to him, and he's like, "Oh, they're doing it as two characters?" Like, no, it's one character. At least that's what we're assuming. It's going to be one character.
I'm assuming it's going to be one character. They've never done two separate characters as a PvP reward at the same time.
No. I don't know how they would do it. Like, would they do one as the adamantium reward and one as the vibranium reward?
Shut your mouth. That'd be awesome. But then it'd also be really pissy because you didn't get the other one.
You wouldn't get a jacket, right? Or you wouldn't get a trench.
Yeah. There aren't any team-ups like them that they've really done. They did, I mean, every other team-up like that, Kazar and
Zandu.
Yeah, that. And then Molly and Lockjaw. Those are all.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Lockjaw.
Those are all not human team up. You couldn't really play Lockjaw as a separate character. I don't know. I think you could play Lockjaw as a separate character. You could not play Garfield as a second character. You know, because he's tied to Kazar.
Right. Wait, it's not Molly and Lockjaw. Who came with
Kamala.
Lockjaw?
Did I say Molly? Kamala. I actually meant Kamala.
Kamali, I knew
the name. I just said it wrong.
Kamali and Lockjaw.
Kamali. Yeah, and I knew. I actually read the first 20 episodes of her book. I actually knew her name, and I just said the wrong thing. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I wonder if the Cloak and Dagger four-issue limited series is on Marvel Unlimited, because that is a really cool introduction to those characters.
I'm going to have to go look in a minute.
Yeah.
I got all the audio on my iPad, so I'm afraid to touch my iPad. But now you're making me want to go do things, like look up comic books.
All right. Well, I'll move on while you do that, all right? MA2, Spec Ops number one, I guess came to an end. I'm on the page right now, and I'm not seeing the countdown anymore. But I don't know if that's just because I finished it or what the deal is, but hopefully if you have MAA2, you had a chance to grab Ant-Man as part of their spec ops. And hopefully with this ending, I mean, you know, they've got a PvP going on right now. Who knows what they're waiting for as far as if they're waiting for a specific moment that is going to be the right time to do the worldwide release. I do know that the last patch actually seemed to add a few bugs.
Yeah.
There have been some things where I've gotten characters down to one health and they just stay at one health until an environmental element kills them, like bleeding or static shock, where I can keep pounding on them and keep pounding on them with direct attacks. But unless there's something that's a damage over time effect, they don't drop. And I think that's a bug. Plus there have been some other things too, some other things that kind of made that screwy. Oh yeah, really quickly, MAA2, the Spec Ops, this is a really cool deal, is that once you finish Spec Ops, you still get access to it forever.
Yeah, so, once you recruit Ant-Man, you get a permanent unlocked Spec Ops, which is kind of cool.
It's really cool because there's roulettes at the end of each level that can give you some of his bonus moves. So what's great about that is that you can just keep doing those until you get those bonus moves. It's like the, you know, like if we kept Spec Ops access in MA1, would be great, mm-hmm. because we could go back and farm the weapons that we didn't get.
Yes.
So that's huge, and I wish they would do that for MA1.
Now, my experience is totally different than your experience. We did approach the difficulty when it first launched. I mean, it was brutal. And you even said at that point that if you didn't have Wasp level 30, you don't know what you'd be doing. They did patch that and turn it down. And I found out about it on a show. You guys heard me here go, oh, okay, well, check it out. And I did. I jumped back in, and it was better. And I have 4 level 30s right now, and two level 29s, and mm-hmm. a few closer than that. And I'm leveling things up, but the good news is it really challenged me to really learn the depth of the game and how to play these characters instead of just going, look, my level 30 just smashes, and playing everybody like they're Hulk and just who cares, just blast. Like I do at level 300 on PvE with MAA1. Is I can feel if I put 15s in, I don't even have to look. It's just, oh yeah, the battle's done. Right. I killed you. Everything was automatic. Right. You can't do that here. And that's great. It challenged me to go, okay, I don't need to just put in my 3 main 30s, which is Hulk, Hawkeye, and Captain America. Let me swap in Iron Fist because he has healing.
Because he needs some time. He needs some, he needs XP, right?
Right, because he's a level 29 and I do need the XP. But I need the healing so I could have a protector, which I usually left either Hulk or Cap in to protect, depending on, see, now I'm having to watch classes. Who am I going up against? So it made me think more. And a little tip for everybody on MAA2. I did not know this until doing Spec Ops. Iron Fist Meditate, I think originally, I'm pretty sure originally it was only for himself and to do some minor healing. You can give that to anybody now. And so as long as I had a protector on, I could use his meditate to put healing on whoever the protector was and just keep patching them up, which is a nice touch because I don't believe you could do that before. And then, of course, he does have a major heal, one person, and then he has a group heal. That's mm-hmm. a medium heal. Right. So, and then Heimdall, I was able to recruit Heimdall. So that's the other good news is it challenged me to get out of my safety zone of like 80 gold. Because you really don't need to hoard that much gold in MAA2. It's very prolific. It's very good. You keep getting it. So I spent it, and I ended up recruiting Heimdall, which is really good. Actually, I take that back. I recruited War Machine, because I think Heimdall I got from the PvP.
From PvP, yeah, sure.
I think I got him. Then I ended up getting Black Widow.
And oh, good.
While she's no Wasp, she's definitely – I was not able to level her fast enough to get her into those battles. But it did challenge me. So I did get some new tools. I got some new characters, good characters, and learned how to use other people's abilities differently. Heimdall is killer as a support character. I made him stealthy instantly after every round. And so then he has two supports that are really great, the Precognition and then the Horn of Galahorn. And then I keep his blade of Uru because, man, that thing is boss. So if he needs to hit somebody, he hits hard.
Yeah, for sure. No, he's great. Black Widow, man, the sooner you can get her leveled up and start using her, because she's, you throw Stealthy, the Stealth ISO on there, and her ballerina attack is a one-shotter.
It is. It is incredible. So I'm saving up my coins to get, I think I'm up to 600 purple coins now to buy the ballerina. And then,
excellent.
Yeah, she. So I was very happy. I was like, okay, I'm not mad at you for making, because the difficulty made me think outside of the limited box I'd put myself in. However, with that being said, I could not even get to the boss on the first mission, even with that team. I was able to clear all the way through it. The deploys are handled very niftily. They're very cool. I was able to go through that, and I had the gold. You don't really gold skip in MAA. You fight and you die, and he says, hey, for 5 gold, you'll get a refresh team right here where you died, and you can continue on through the battle. I had to do that once, and then, oddly enough, so I couldn't get through the battle before the boss without gold skipping it, but I was able to beat the boss without gold skipping. So I did finish mission one of the Spec Ops, barely started mission two, and then just ran out of time. So I don't have access. I don't have Ant-Man, although Ant-Man will come up. You know he's going to come up in the spin, right? In the goal, you know, when you open the canister, it's theoretically possible to get Ant-Man to come out of it.
Yes, yes.
However, just getting Ant-Man, unless there's a glitch, I don't think it's going to unlock Spec Ops.
No, that would be so great, though, if it did, right?
Yeah, like tied to him.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
Otherwise you're having to spend points to get his abilities, his upper-level abilities.
Yeah, but it's fun. They handled it well. I think they will have to come off of that four. Everybody's 4-star and level 31 there. And when you say you have to be level 12 commander to even enter Spec Ops, no way. There's no way. I mean, you have to be level 30
that may
commander.
Be, right, that may be the level you need, but it ain't the level that's going to work. Yeah, so if you, I would still say keep farming until you get Wasp. But
oh, yeah, absolutely. And however, I can definitely see how, I've said it before, and we'll keep saying, there's no bad character in this game. Wasp and Iron Man, the original Iron Man, I don't know what... Mm-hmm. I know they've added a new suit for him, so I'm not sure what they're calling it. But Wasp and Iron Man are definitely two of the most powerful people in the game. Star-Lord can be. So those are definitely your A-listers. But I barely call anybody else a B-lister. I mean, I was able to handle the battles with my team. And that's a level 20, at the time, it was a level 26 Heimdall that went in. And because of the way I crystalled him up and I thought outside the box, he was able to really help the team move forward and boost him up. Man, he can make your team so strong. Angela can come in done right.
Angela's, man, Angela's
a one-shotter as well.
Yeah, I use Angela in my PvP team. It's Angela, Electro, and Wasp. And I only lose about one out of every 6 or 7. Battles.
Yeah. So,
and that's when I go up against somebody who's obviously like just beefed them up to like their maximum. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool.
I had to buy a power just to fill out Black Widow's third slot. So she's not empty when she's training. One of her 1-star abilities is a shock fist that on its 2-star ability leaves a static shock on the enemy. So she'll be a good partner for Electro or Wasp.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. I didn't realize that either until I went, I just want a $100 or 100 coin one because I don't want to spend a ton of resource on a 1-star when I'm going to get Ballerina. So I was like, this looks cool. And I read about it. I was like, this might end up being a pretty good team up.
Just one more reason for Black Widow to be add it to your team. She's a rare one too. So
It came up. It definitely came out rare.
Yeah.
So
very nice. Cool. Let's see. Also for MA2, they were at the Silicon Valley Comic Con this last week and announced that in addition to just keeping the word soon in their vocabulary pretty frequently, as far as when they're asked when this is going to go worldwide, they're also working on a comic, or it's going to be available very shortly, that bridges the gap between MAA1 and MAA2. It's going to be a digital comic, and I believe Fabian Nyziessa is going to be the one working on it, I think. Let me jump back over to my notes on that. I want to say that's, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but yeah, it's from Disney Interactive. They actually had physical copies of the comic at SVCC. So I imagine if you hop onto eBay right now, you might be able to snag yourself yeah. one if you really want a hard copy. Otherwise, it's going to be available digitally, and that's probably the better way to grab it anyway. But it's going to be interesting to see the way they connect the story between one and two, you know?
Yeah. Yes, that would be really kind of cool.
Yeah. This is interesting. Avengers Alliance. I just hopped on eBay just to see myself, and they've got plush Avengers Alliance Captain America and plush Avengers Alliance what? Thor. These must have been something that they gave away because the logo on the bottom definitely looks like the Avengers Alliance. Oh no, it's from Avengers Assemble. They just it's from the TV show. They just somebody put in Avengers Alliance and they meant to put Avengers Assemble.
So that's what you say. Why do I not have one of these?
Right. What did I do? How did I not get this? Yeah.
Plato, we're in your 49 people that you follow. How did we not get one as a gift package? Okay. So that makes more sense.
Yeah. And nope, we still don't have, nobody's posted their Avengers Alliance comic book, physical comic book online yet. There is a Avengers Alliance virtual game postcard from Comic-Con 2013 that has a promo code for the Scroll of Melsalam. Nice. All right, grab that. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So digital comic coming soon. Keep an eye out for that. We'll be sure to promote it when it becomes available. And then lastly, talking about Avengers Academy, the Marvel Sims, currently they have a spec ops. It's a special operations where you're trying to recruit specific characters. The A-Bomb and Red Hulk one ended over the weekend last week, and they almost immediately started Sunday night, the Pepper Potts recruitment. Here's the way it works, is that you've got six heroes that can go out and do special missions to get the dossiers. Iron Man, Falcon, Wasp, Enchantress, Black Widow, and Loki. Those six can get these dossiers. Iron Man and Black Widow take 4 hours. Falcon takes 3. Wasp takes 6. And Enchantress and Loki take 2. And basically, while they're doing this, they're obviously not doing anything else to earn gold or XP for you. So it's basically one or the other thing. Whenever you get a set number of these dossiers, you collect them all up and then send one of those guys out on a mission to turn those dossiers into a power globe, a hollow globe. And once you get 25 of those hollow globes, you can recruit Pepper Potts. So that's how it works. Hmm. What makes this thing tough, number one, is the fact that each of these missions takes 2, 3, 4, 6 hours. The other pain in the butt is that it doesn't, you don't know which of them you're going to have to send out to do the turning in of the dossiers into the globes. And why that's important is if you, you know, you collect your stuff from Wasp. You're like, all right, let's send Wasp out to get another one. And now I'll do my turn in for the dossiers. If it turns out you need Wasp to do that, you've got to wait the 6 hours for her to complete her current deal or use shards to speed it up.
Because there's no abort. You can't just cancel it.
You can't cancel it, no. Right. At least I don't know if you can, but I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
And so, yeah, you're kind of stuck. You got to kind of wait for to Wasp to finish her deal. So, It's a whole game of timing. It's just basically like, all right, Stark has 3 hours left. I'm going to wait until I collect his to see if I need to send who I need to send on the next one. And the other pain in the butt is that you don't know how many dossiers you're going to need the next time around. So it may be 2 red, 3 yellow, and 2 purple. And then as soon as you turn those in, the next one's going to be, you're going to need 3 red and 2 yellow and 4 purple. And so your best bet is just to kind of, what I do is I keep some timers going on my screen and then log in every couple hours and and send them in. But yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt, but hey, you get Pepper Potts. And you know what? You know what happens when you get Pepper Potts? Absolutely nothing special. Just have one more person that you send out for missions and what does it matter when you still only have seven missions at any given time?
And I tried to do the spec ops, if you will. They didn't call it that, but the spec ops for Red Hulk or A-Bomb. Or, you know, it's both. It's 1 week was A-Bomb, the next week was Red Hulk.
Right.
And I actually got closer to Red Hulk, but it was, like you're saying, it was too hard to manage. But I kind of enjoyed it. It gave me more of a reason to log in and give more of a damn.
You know, yes.
To try.
Yeah, totally.
But not so much that, you know, when they dropped the Hulk, right? And I know you didn't pay full price for the Hulk, but they dropped the Hulk. Hey, early recruitment. Spend X amount of money. It's like, no, because, okay, with the Hulk, yes, he's a built-in shovel. So he'll go around smashing all the stuff for you. Other than that, it's like, War Machine early, this would work. You'll get Vision. You'll get extra amount of credits drop permission. I'm like, and then?
Right, exactly. And what benefit does that give me? So
yeah. I mean, I still check. Oddly enough, it's the weirdest form of crack you could do.
It's just kind of
there. Like, you know, I'm going to check that real quick and look at it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having it in the background, it's way more of a background thing for me than MAA has ever been. Like doing the flight deck for MAA, that just sits there. It's like, all right, 20 minutes is up, resend. These guys, it's like, I guess they're ready for another mission. All right, let's send them out on another mission. Have fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's all it really is. It's like, okay. Right. I don't know. It's there.
That's. You hit the nail right on the head.
I mean, it's the same reason I play Puzzle Quest, Marvel Dark Alliance Puzzle Quest. It's fun. Now that I like. I like to get the powers and have some strategy. I've always loved Puzzle Quest from the day it came out in its original form before it got all the other iterations like Marvel's. But if it went away tomorrow, I'd be like, that was kind of fun. That sucks. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, if MAA went away tomorrow, I'd be like, what the hell? The world's coming to an end. You know, just to give you perspective there. Then one last thing before we move on to the King. We had an odd day, right? Friday was an odd day for PvP to end.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, totally it was.
You know, it was a really bad day for me.
Well, I forgot that. Yeah, we didn't have it in our notes to talk about PvP, but that ended since the last time we talked. Congratulations!
Oh yeah,
on hitting adamantium. Yeah,
but it was so. Ibn and I actually compared notes last Tuesday on the show about how I had almost twice as many battles, but we were basically the same ranking. Right. And it's weird, and it doesn't make sense. And without going through all the struggles and everything, I got up Friday morning, didn't check any of my other games, just dove right in, had lost. Up until that point, I had done okay. I mean, literally up until the last night, maybe lost 80 points at most in a single night. And I'd played until like 2 in the morning. Got up to almost 1,700 in adamantium the night before game day. Get up the next day and hadn't slept for maybe 6 hours, right? That's the amount of time I was gone. 200 and something points down. Back at 1,545, right? 5 points away for adamantium. I spent 5 hours up and down, and changed my team out. You know, finally, honestly, I didn't do it intentionally. When I discovered what it was doing, I left it anyway, but I got the E3 Bruiser suit, and instantly, just because this is how I'd roll, not because I knew there was a glitch, and I found that out later, I put Sandy, you know, not the gun one, but the Sandy new EISO that any single attack puts grit. Grit's a great thing. So I put it on there. I put the elite ISO. So whenever anybody hits me, I absorb energy. And I put big and fast to give me extra turns when I get hit. Mm-hmm. Well, the glitch ends up being on the E3 suit. When you get hit with the elite EISO, instead of just giving you one health and stamina, however many sacks of grit you have, that's how much health you get. So if I'm down towards the bottom and somebody punches me in the face, full health, full stamina, instantly. And yes, it was a glitch, but I'm not taking it down. It helped me survive. So I used that, and I ended up, I can't remember what team I ended up using. Oh, no Kurth. No freaking Kurth was my final team yet again, because nothing else could move fast enough. I did bust my butt 2 days prior to end of game day and finish chapter 10 to get angrier. And that really did help out a lot on defense. Angrier stayed on my defense with Kurth and with, I forget the setup, but with certain new EISOs. And Kurth absolutely had lethal on her, Fear Me attack, was her level 6. It's not a glitch, says, not a glitch. PD says strategy was what M.A. Clairvoyant says. And you're right, despair does shut it down. So it's not something that is unavoidable. It's not. And I went up against some agents that had it too, and I figured out how to kill them. It wasn't the electro bug. The electro bug would just lock you out, nothing you could do. You have to reboot the game, so you get an automatic loss, you get an automatic win. But yeah, Null Kurth, with Null having, he had something on him. I don't remember what I put on him, a little bit special, but that's what I did. I used Null Kurth, ended up, after 5 hours, something just snapped. I don't know what it was, and I finally got up to 1640. You know,
wow.
I was staying at 1545, 1555. And it just, the defensive losses would take me right back down. I was just back and forth, vibranium, adamantium, and I just felt frustrated. But I did end up, Chris Wisdom has a similar story where he's way up in adamantium, came in and lost so much. And right with an hour left to go, he was at 1545. Other people saying the same thing. So even though I won and I got Hellcat, which I really appreciate, and the new suit, which is cool. I like it. Well, okay, that was no pun intended, but it is cool. It's the Bruiser Ice Out suit. I left myself going, why do I put myself through this? Just for adamantium? I mean, I was vibranium. I wasn't going to lose vibranium at all. Mm-hmm. Just right. To get that new character? Why?
Just to make sure. Yeah, right, right.
You know,
why are we going through this? Yeah.
It seemed like in the chat and in the Agents Only Lounge, the general theme was this one was weird and it was hard and thoroughly unenjoyable. And when that happens, what happens to your game?
It was totally agree. And the biggest, I think the biggest wrench in the works was the dropping of all those AISOs and EISOs right in the middle of PvP, because you didn't get a chance to really think about strategy, about using them, about how you fight against somebody who's using them, figuring out which ones they have. So it's tough, man. It was a tough PvP. I came up short. I didn't get adamantium for the first time. Well, no, I take that back. It was first time since the previous one, but the one before that, I also didn't get adamantium. But it's been, you know, two out of the last three. And prior to that, I'd been in adamantium for the last 10, 15 PvPs or however
many
it has
been.
Pretty much since it started. Yeah. I think Angel was the last one where I didn't get adamantium, but obviously it didn't matter because we all got Angel.
Yeah.
it definitely seems like it's a sign of the game. It's also a sign of my timing. I had so much less time this time around, and I thought, all right, a couple days before I'm going to get into adamantium, and I got right on the edge of it on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Battled around, stepped into it, stepped out of it, stepped into it on Thursday, and then when Friday rolled around, I was like, oh crap, this is going to be the busiest day of my week. Mm-hmm. And I had two trainings to conduct, and like still had my screen up on the side where I was like playing every once in a while when I noticed that it was a lull or it was my turn.
Yeah.
And still basically only got like maybe 10 fights in on Friday.
And where did you end up?
Just shy of like 1523. I know.
Yeah, that hurts. And that's the other thing that I think is a general complaint overall. And my wife asked me, and I'll get to what she asked me, and I'll tell you what I answered without screwing up my thought like I was about to do. The general complaint overall is people who – the different time zones around the world, they're sleeping, they have to work the next day, they're at work, they can't play on game day. we have to, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to stay positive about it because I do enjoy it up until that point of where it just smashes you in the face and you can't do anything about it. And yet you see other people go, this is the easiest PvP I've ever done. I'm sitting at 4,000 because they made a whole new level just for me because I was so easy. You know, it's like that part's frustrating. And I can understand why a majority of players who don't even have the time that you and I have, Ibit, and we've gotten to where we don't have the time anymore, mm-hmm. that they can't just kill 5, 6, 7 hours on game day and do 100 battles. You know, it hurts your overall game, and they kind of need to do something to take away that where the last day is the only day that matters, or it feels like it's the only day that matters, and where I know we can wait 90 days-ish and spend an ungodly amount of CP to recruit the hero, mm-hmm. so we'll still get him. So you're not locked out.
Nope. Thank goodness for all the duck CP that we got.
Yeah, no kidding. It's still a bad experience overall.
Yeah.
My wife asked me, she's like, why? I mean, I was raging. I wasn't like throwing things around the house. I almost punched my computer in its stupid face at one point.
I may have flipped off the other heroes. Yeah. Usually it was like Beta Ray Bill or every time, what's his face? Is it Chase Stein that has the reboot
yes.
and gets back all of his stupid health?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Only yeah, sometimes. Like, mine did it sometimes. Yeah, right. Other ones did it more than mine did.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly feels like it. Yeah, and yeah. I would have despair on them, right? And so I'm thinking, yes. Great, well, you know, there's no way Chase Stein can reboot because he can't get health because he's got despair on. Nope.
Fatal Blow will stop him, but it's, Fatal Blow, it sucks yeah. that despair didn't stop him. I noticed that as well. My wife asked me, she's like, she was giving me my space. She understands game day. She's been through this many times before. She understands that a lot of it is, I still play game day for the show. But really, because as she's, why you're so bad? Why don't you just walk away? You're like, I can't, because I know I belong in Adamantium. I got to Adamantium. I put the effort in. And because this thing is broken, it knocked me out. And there's just something in me. He's like, Ibit has to collect them all. He has to get mm-hmm. every alt and every mm-hmm. character. When I know I can do something, it's very, very, very difficult for me to walk away from it. And in the middle of it, I was just, I did take some walkabouts and cooled off and came back and yeah. fought some more. An hour out from the end of the game, I actually was when I hit like 16:45, like, okay. And instantly, man, my attitude got better. My energy got better. I wasn't angry. I even told her, I was like, see, I'm better now. I got to where I needed to be. And I would go back and I would check. And I ended up 1580 something. I mean, well above wow. the marker. But I watched it. You know, I watched the defensive losses to see, do I need to get back in? Because God, I spent all this time. By God, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to. And it made for a better day. It's one of those things that we're going to do.
Yes.
And it rages us out. And I wish it didn't. I wish it was more of a beat the final boss in a big AAA game. And you feel like it was tough. And when you're done, you felt like that was so worth it. And it honestly, in my life, it's not worth the rage to get a digital character that may or may not be good.
Right.
When I can buy her later. When exactly. I'm not missing out on anything.
And you're think of the stress and the
yeah.
anger and stuff you'll say.
The damage to the computer. the damage to my right. kids and their therapy later in life.
Daddy would always yell at me when those little men were on screen.
They learn words during game day that they probably should never hear in their lives.
I think Marvel Avengers Alliance is my fault.
Which is exactly why I didn't do a Periscope, you know, or stream it out, because the things that come out of my mouth during yeah. that, not just the words, but the energy behind the word. I mean, I'm so in a dark place.
Yeah,
at that point,
you'd be surprised, you know, knowing yeah. mild mannered Brian Ibit, the kind of expletives that I use. Yeah. If you know, oh, one more reboot? Are you kidding me? One more? Yeah. George had a very difficult experience because for the third time in a row, this has happened to him where he's gotten to Adamantium and then overnight he gets enough attacks that just get him into Vibranium and then the attacks stop, right? So it's mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. he goes back and looks at his scores, his battle records or his reports, and it's like loss, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss, whatever. And then yeah. it goes just until he crosses the threshold to vibranium and then nothing else. Yep. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, how does that work then? What is making it stop at that point? Like, is there something in the algorithm for PvP for defensive attacks or defensive losses that says only do it until they drop a level? Hmm. And if that is the case, that's a load of crap.
Yeah. And everybody's saying the same thing that we're getting to. Add is a struggle. And it does mean we need to make t-shirts. This we could sell. Vibra is the new Ada. You know, and do it in the style of Orange is the New Black. Because it is. Vibranium level is the only thing that matters, because that's what you miss out on. And actually, I would even say diamond level matters, because if you don't make diamond or vibranium, it's very difficult to get the suit / EISO, depending on the season.
Almost impossible.
And the weapon, unless it's really, really, really good, like a Meta Breaker good, they won't put it on sale because it's just one of the things.
Right.
So
I think I want to make the next t-shirt I want to work on is Make Adamantium Great Again.
Yeah. Oh no, we have to have Scott Summers in his alt form with his hair sticking up, but you know, slick it back and then kind of put some orange tan over his blue suit. That'd be awesome.
Perfect. Excellent.
So, all right. So you guys feel the pain. You understand. Everybody understands.
I want to hear somebody else talk for a while, Charles.
Yeah. I got to go cry under my desk. So here comes. Let me make sure it's turned up. All right. All hail the king.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. In this segment, you're probably going to hear the upset Kingfisher. We're going to start with the Spec Op and then our actual segment character. Well, for me, the problems with Spec Ops, they go further than Mission 1. I'm kind of over that. You know, I was at least able to beat it. Not with a good mission score. And if you're still upset about it, I fully understand. Go ahead and rage on. But for me, my main issue has been unstable ISO 8 and the fact that I can't collect any gifts. They turned off the day the Spec Ops started, I believe. Maybe the night before, but I didn't notice until that day. So in the past, mentioning it on the podcast actually ended up getting it fixed, I think. So hopefully that happens again. It's extremely frustrating only getting unstable ISO 8 from the roulette, which rarely happens for me now, and from visiting my allies' maps. It's rough. And it's definitely held me back from finishing the Spec Op. When I do finish it, which will probably be tomorrow, I'm going to get this incredibly underwhelming character that I don't even like or know. I mean, I've heard a few friends say they read her comic or saw her somewhere, and that they liked the character. But for me, Cammy's from Street Fighter. And I find it hard to believe that some young kid with no powers is going to take on these supervillains. And Cammy does about the damage that you would expect from a young kid hitting a supervillain or superhero. Especially with her level 1 and get off my lawn. What were they thinking? No damage? Please tell me that's a glitch. I could almost care less that it puts reduced potential on the enemies. So do a bunch of other way better characters. Like Vision and Winter Soldier. Those are just a few, and by the way, they deal damage with their attack. Okay, it also has Shield Slam. Well, because of that, we're going to at least try her out with someone who can shield her. So along the lines of
she can shield herself.
Carolina Deen. And we'll see, maybe we can get 1 or 2 damage from it. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyways, though, I'm taking it as an absolute error and that they just released her broken. Which is kind of sad. But the fact that it has Shield Slam means it should do damage. I mean, what's a 50% boost on nothing? Seems pointless. Like I said though, I haven't even finished Spec Op because I can't get gifts, so I can't even try her out right now. But she will be in the episode, with Carolina Deen, or maybe Invisible Woman. Winter Soldier's going to be another team up. And people have told me, well, she's good with him. Is she really better than Victor Mancha, Magneto, or Amazing Spider-Woman? Just to name a few. I saw the synergy, but really, I doubt she's better than those heroes. But yeah, that's the Cammy talk, and we got something a little bit more serious than that. First of all, Cloak and Dagger has been announced as the next reward hero for PvP, and they are an awesome team up, and should have some really interesting abilities. So I'm definitely excited for them. But just like I said on Twitter, and I've mentioned a few times, the grit exploit, and I hesitate to say stuff because I don't want to ruffle feathers, but it's a 100% exploit. It should be bannable. Well, it has to be fixed before another season's launched. And today I'm going to have a video on it, so if you don't even know what it is, check it out. The only reason I hesitated to mention it a lot before, or make a video, was because I didn't want even more people using it. But by the end of PvP, almost everyone I faced was using it. Oh, Kingfisher, but you can use Despair, no problem. As I recently saw on James and Mike Mondays, get good. You may not know what I'm talking about, but anyways, moving on. That's fine, I beat the teams every single time. But when I saw them on defense, it reminded me that they're using it on offense. So every time it infuriated me. Using it on offense, I couldn't see you ever losing. There's no way that the defense is knowingly shutting it down with Despair, at least reliably. So it was a sick advantage. Still, I refuse to use it. I never will. And the reason is, like I said, there is no possible way that that was intended and that that's how it's supposed to work. It's an exploit. And at the very least, Playdom should have came out and said, it's bannable, stop using it. It probably wouldn't have changed anything last PvP season, but I would have been a lot happier with this company, at least addressing it. So yeah, I'm gonna rage more and more about it. I'll mention it in every video if I have to, if they start another season and haven't fixed it. So either fix it, Playdom, or come out and tell me it's intended somehow. I'll just end with this, and I don't care if it's a popular statement or not, I'm fired up. When you use some sort of exploit or borderline cheat in a single player game, that's kind of on you. You're affecting your own experience. But there are other players in PvP. You're facing real life humans who put time, effort, money into the game, and you're blatantly cheating them. I don't know how you can be okay with that. Some of you may even be fans of me. And you know what? I thank you for that. Everyone makes mistakes. And in my opinion, you should stop using the exploit. But hey, if you can't, I hope that Playdom stops it. If not, next season my head might explode. Anyways, I'm done. I'm off the soapbox for now. But I'll be back on it in my video tonight. Thank you all for listening. And then I'll send it back to the hosts.
Right.
Dude, I you can hear it. Once you hear the king enough, you hear it. His voice, yeah. He's like, not that it matter. And it, on the right. Surface, he was just normally talking, but like, oh.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell when King's upset, and he's rightfully so.
All right. So last week we had a new segment by Agent Anado, and a couple weeks ago we messed it up by reading it instead of playing it. And then last week, it actually ended up being my fault. The audio he sent right. was bad. I was in a rush to convert it because it came in a different format.
You made it sound like this.
Yeah, well, no, it was a lot more compressed than that, but yes. So this week I had some time, and he's going to intro exactly what he's doing, why he's doing the segment, and then in the future I think it's just loadouts and how to play a character better. As opposed to, it's different than what PokéProf is doing. I can't really explain it. Maybe he'll explain it here.
Sure.
But here, let's see if this will play all the way through. This is a quick time instead of...
Hello, everyone. So I guess it's time I finally spoke up about the whole what do these audio recordings mean. Now, first off, no, I'm not Ultron, but I do want to thank my friend Lyle for providing his voice to the recordings. So to start off, I'm giving a bit of a background as to who I am and what I do. 4 years ago, I was introduced to a game called Avengers Alliance. From the start, I had enjoyed it very much and had gotten members of my family to play along with me. It was only till a few months after the game's release that they became tired of it and left. All of a sudden, the game felt different for me as I had very few allies, and it was hard to find somewhere to talk about the game. But then I ran into a video called Squirrel Girl Character Review, where I was first introduced to the Kingfisher 745. From there, I had learned that he posted videos talking about characters and team-ups that were unimaginable at the time, and that he was partnering with an awesome podcast.
That's right.
And it wasn't just King posting all this type of MA stuff, but Facebook groups as well. From there, I've gotten to see a lot of what people had come up with, concepts that were so good they couldn't possibly fail. At the same time, I wanted to start doing my own research on the game and contribute some ideas. The only difference was the way I wanted to do it might be a little different than from everyone else. So what I see today is a lot of people tend to rely on meta, leaving old heroes in the dust who would later on most likely get criticized for not being strong enough. Now, the way I see it is completely different. I believe that it doesn't matter what hero you have. All of them are great, just that some are accustomed to a certain style. For example, Rescue is more of a defensive character because she will mainly support your team through buffs, while another character like Shatterstar is based upon inflicting damage to the enemy. The same rule can be applied to weapons and gadgets, but to be fair, everything in this game works great as long as you find the right strategy. And that is why I, Anado, will be creating a YouTube channel focusing not just on team-ups and builds, but questions about the game we never thought about asking. Like, is Dr. Doom still viable, or is BS Spidey BS? Now, another thing I wanted to add was that, different to other MAA channels, I will be providing my videos not just in English, but in French as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
This could totally open to a bigger audience and attract more people to my channel and potentially everyone who's connected to it as well. In this case, I was hoping to branch out to other communities and channels so we can expand each other's networks and really delve more into the game we've all known and loved for 4 years now. I would love for FTH to be a part of it, and if so, I cannot wait for what the future holds. So, I was originally supposed to have the channel up by now, but it comes with bitter news that it might not be that fast. I had previously worked on dozens of videos during the late summer of last year, but unfortunately, my computer had broken down and all the files could not be recovered. So, for now, up until I get everything back on track, for every 2 weeks, I will make a segment where I talk about a special team build or idea. After the show, all the info of what I talked about should later be posted on the FTH Facebook page. Now, a few weeks ago, I had shared my team build, Team Fetch, with Boomerang and Kazar. And last week, I had shared my Punisher build, but I know that the audio recordings were very noisy. So what will happen is that these two builds should be posted after today's show. I will be back in a week's time to talk more about the future of the game. I want to thank you all for listening, and until next time, stay safe and happy hunting.
So I got to start forwarding these things on to Mark Parrott, who helps us out a lot with the Facebook page, because the reason they're not posted is because I forget. And like, yeah, it's great, we're talking about it in the show, and then I go to do other stuff, and oh, crap, it's the time for a show again, and he's like, where's the lineup? Because he's got some great write-ups. It really is.
Yeah.
So that's on me, and I will do more to get it done. So Punkyprof writes this great letter to go along with his – it's for our own benefit. You know, the letter's for you and I to kind of get a heads up to what audio is. But you know what? I'm just going to play the audio because I listened to it to check the volume on it, and I've listened to the first – 10 seconds of this thing about 5 times because it cracks me up every time.
Excellent. All right.
Here we go. Oh, wait. Here's the play button there.
Cloak and dagger, cloak and dagger, cloak and freaking dagger. Yes. Okay, Punkyprof. Calm down. Let's do this right. Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood Punkyprof. And if you couldn't guess from that introduction, I'm a little beside myself in happiness that some of my favorite heroes are finally joining us here in the Alliance. As such, I figure it's the perfect time to try something new here on my little segment. What I'm going to be doing is that I, the lover of lore and backstory that I am, will spend this time going over the history of a hero who's joining us so agents not so familiar with them can come to know them a little bit better. This is a trial run, though, and if people don't like the little history lesson, well, I'll just go back to analyzing heroes with skills we actually know about. If you do like it, however, we might do it on other new heroes that decide to join us, and even older ones if it's requested. As such, let's talk about Cloak and Dagger. Originally a pair of runaways trying to escape the trials of their life, Tyrone Johnson and Tandy Bowen were captured and used as test subjects by Simon Marshall, a criminal chemist trying to create a synthetic heroin known as D-Light for Silvermane and the Magia.
Being among the only ones that survived the drug, it had an adverse effect of mutating their bodies, giving Tyrone the ability to connect to a place known as the Dark Force Dimension, as well as the ability to teleport, while it gave Tandy the ability to form daggers of life that could drain and give vitality while also being able to purify all afflictions from those affected by them. Seeing the horror of what happened to them and others, the pair named themselves Cloak and Dagger, dedicating to helping all runaways like themselves and declaring war on all drug dealers. The pair quickly found themselves allying with many other heroes throughout their adventures, most notably Spider-Man, the Power Pack, and the X-Men, the latter of which even offered the two to join their ranks, though they initially turned it down. It was during this that Cloak discovered that he needed to feed off the vitality of others to sustain himself, harming any who remained within his Dark Force dimension too long. Dagger is able to sustain him with her own powers, which has caused the two to become very close throughout their adventures. Cloak and Dagger have gone through a lot in their lives, dealing with the greatest heroes and villains about, up to and including the Avengers and Thanos. One thing is perfectly obvious, though. The pair are dedicated to each other and to their duty to help those in need, especially those without a home to call their own. Hopefully, knowing a bit more about them will allow you to appreciate them a little bit more in Battle Agent. Head back to the Helicarrier and talk with our host to see if they liked this little history lesson.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I mean, I'm going to go read the stuff that Emmett suggested, the full run, if it's on there. But that, see, why didn't you do that for Cammy? Then we wouldn't have gotten in trouble for pooping on her last week because we don't know her. You know, that would have helped us.
Or A-bomb. Yeah. Give us some background on A-bomb. I know who Rick Jones is. Don't. Yeah. Don't start.
Never going to give you up. Anyway, sorry. No. That's Rick Astley. So, Rick Aston Martin. So what I suggest, PokeProf, is that you do a little of both. You know, absolutely give us some tea. Because the layouts you've put up, people talked about how Ares has changed their game. The Ares episode you did. Definitely those things help. I think it's Re21 in the chat. He helps me out with, he's really picked up on my style. So he knows, like, when I was getting Electro, he went ahead and gave me a really good setup for Electro that I'm leveling Electro up, I'm putting those things in place and instantly seeing it work well. So when you have that kind of skill of going, hey, this kind of character does well, here's how you set them up to do best, that is very helpful. So maybe you do the teaser here now, the history, and then when we get Cloak and Dagger, you do the build, and then King comes right in with the team ups, and it's a sweet package right there. And then Antidote tells us it in French, and we don't understand.
But we're learning.
So we have some from the fields. I'm not sure how fast we're going to get through these. The very top one we've already done.
Right.
So we can start with Agent Tico. And all right, I'll start typing in names while you do that.
Cool. Hello, agents. I find it disturbing the amount of people using the Electro exploit in PvP. I'm currently ranked 2505. And one in five or six battles, I face Electro with the weapon that causes the game to freeze. It's sad that so many need to cheat. How can that be fun? Also, face many who should not be ranked so high. They have almost no heroes, no armory, and no fifth slot. This has lowered my fun experience in PvP. Here's a tip to the exploit. Kill Electro as fast as possible. PvP is over by now, and I hope they fix that before the next season. I still love the game. Agent Tico out. Yeah, totally, totally true. Anytime we see something like that, an exploit that gets taken advantage of, it's such a drag and just brings down the fun level for anybody, because there's nothing you can do about it. You're kind of stuck. You're like, you see Electro and you're like, oh, crap. I did exactly the same thing, man. If I saw Electro come up in a battle, I took him out absolutely first. So anyway.
Pride 99 says, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Yes. I actually never came up against that setup, which I was very grateful.
I'd heard about it before. I'd heard about it before I saw Electro in PvP. And so I just assumed that if I saw Electro in PvP, I needed to take him out. It might've been somebody who had you know, legally, quote unquote, legally logged, leveled him up to level 15 and he wasn't going to do the exploit. But,
that's the thing. Not every exploit is exploited. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, it's
right.
We don't always know, because if I'd gotten Electro up fast enough to a level that I thought he could handle his own in PvP, and that could sometimes that's six or higher, you know. But Winter Soldier was in PvP at level six, so if they can hold their own, I'll put them in that early, and I would have had the exploit because absolutely I'm putting Thunderstrike because that's a great weapon. It'll counter attack anybody with Static Shock. Electro does Static Shock. So I would have done it without knowing there was an exploit. And of course, if I had done that and then heard about the exploit, I would have killed that team and taken them down. But what I'm saying is not everybody who uses it knowingly uses it. So
mm-hmm. right.
Next email. Hello, agents. I hope you all achieve your goals for PvP. Condolences, Ibit. And are making progress in the newest Spec Ops. I was pretty successful despite many of the new weapons, EISO, suits, and of course, Angrier. And finished comfortably in Adamantium this time around. I do have several thoughts on the state of PvP as well as some theories on how to be more successful in the future seasons based on where I see things going, but I'll save those for a future submission, possibly an audio submission. For now, I want to share my first impressions of the PvP reward hero Hellcat. While only at level 3, she's showing some potential early on as her Krav Maga move has some decent hitting power to it, and her passive ability tends to trigger quite often. Her level 2 move is pretty weak, but looks like it will be an adequate setup move for her level 9. When looking at some potential team-ups, some obvious names jumped into my head right away, like Anton Venom, Spitfire, and everybody's favorite feline, Black Cat. But after listening to Pokeprof segment last week, I decided to go with a more unorthodox approach and pair her up with Ares. At first glance, Ares... Okay, just thinking on the comic book level... How badass that is. Because Ares is just as dark. I don't give a crap. I just want to cause war guy. And Hellcat's right. Like, I'm tired of being a victim. I'm going to beat the crap out of everybody. That would be... Okay, Marvel, write that one off. Give me a special run with Ares and Hellcat, because that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
But when you... At first, he may not be the most obvious choice for a partner here, but when you equip the God of War's two AISOs, you now have a very complementary, holy crap, they do well together. Character for what Hellcat
complimentary.
I didn't feel like I'm saying it right, but whatever. First, there's the AISO for his level 6 that applies disadvantage to an enemy, placing an opportunity debuff on them as a quick action. Little brief moment here. That's the pistol, that's the quick action, and you have you really need that. That AISO changes everything. Mm-hmm. Second, there's the AISO for his level 1 that grants 3 stacks of bleeding.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have that too, and it's very good. So in one turn, he can set up both Hellcat's exploit conditions, then now add in his ability that lets characters join in on each other's attacks. Since Hellcat's Krav Maga applies pain when used, enemies will gradually take more and more damage as the fight goes on. This works well with Ares' own combat style of building up strength over time and wearing the enemies down with debuffs and progressively more powerful attacks. Ares is currently training to level 15 as I type this, so I'll try to say more about this team for next week's show.
That's really cool.
Nice.
That is, I don't know if it's it Krav Maga. There's no R, second R in there. Krav Maga? All right. Okay.
I went to Walmart, I don't want to hear it.
You call it whatever you want.
I will.
Agent Sketches wrote in, said hello and welcome back to another special installment of Playdoms. Consider the following. In this segment, I'll send a few things worth sharing, and you, the host, aka Sexy Beast of the show, will comment your thoughts on these ideas. Now it's time for Playdoms. Consider the following. First, I love that.
Yeah.
Did you know there is a hero in the game who can actually blink? Meet Angrier, the Breaker of Souls. To do this, zoom out your screen in 90%, then change your game quality settings to low, and voila. Pretty sure he just lost the eye staring contest to Daredevil.
Oh. I'm not going to do that, and I know somebody out there is. Somebody out there is absolutely going to do that, and that's funny. I wonder if that's true.
Second, Playdom logic. Winter Soldier shoots with his good arm, but punches with his bad arm. Why? Ding, ding, ding. Oh, the bell's rung. It's time for a commercial break. What's that? There are more Daredevil episodes? Well, pass those Electrica nachos over because season 2 is here. It's just too bad Electra in the game doesn't hit as hard as she does to me down there. What?
What?
Brian, why did you say that? Daredevil season 2 is out now on Netflix. Hashtag Netflix and chill. Well, we're back. So let's continue. This is hilarious. This is all written in here in script form.
Yeah, perfect.
Third, how much do you think YouTube star Matthew Santoro paid him to get the in-game sprite of Batroc to resemble him? Or is it just me thinking that? And lastly, fourth, Valkyrie. Yeah, just saying. Come on. I know you all forgot she was in the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. As for next time, tune in when we'll discuss all about how Sabretooth has had a freaking bomb planted in his head for almost 2 years. Sheesh, talk about trust issues. I'm starting to feel a little worried for Electro as well. As for all of us, you can find more of Epic Boss McFall at House of the Bear on Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast and more of Agent Ibbot on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz, well, F it, he ain't coming back. Agents, this has been another proud segment of Playdoms. Consider the following. As for me, I'm getting out of here like Luke Cage on a Quinjet, Agent Sketches.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
That is gold right there.
Sketches.
Yes. Save those for like you're doing every 2 weeks or so, but because it's when they pop in, it's like, oh, another one. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, FTH2 crew. That's what's that? I've deleted this thing 3 times now. Holy crap. How many? This is the same one I read earlier.
Oh, that's
no, it got copied wrong. That's for, I copied and pasted the wrong thing. Okay. So read Raimi. I'll go find of Sinico. Right. I apologize.
Agent Raimi wrote in, said, greetings, agents. Hope you're all doing well. Just want to thank you guys and PokeProf for Ari's recommendation. He was the reason I got Diamond League for the 4th time. He is just epic. Now I'm power leveling Electro, then Superior Spider-Man, because I believe they will give him the Sinister Six buff when they release Mysterio as a Spec Ops hero. Probably will be the one after the Civil War one. Also, fingers crossed for Winter Soldier and Falcon Captain America's alt. Also, do you think they'd release Jane Foster as the new Thor? And what about female Cap 2099? That would be great. Whoa, everything
Sorry, I just shifted around.
There we go. Also, after Electro gets to level 15, should I level Mancha for a team up in the next season, or should I focus on Winter Soldier? And thanks again, Agent Raimi is out. Oh, and I got the comics of MAA2 from my cousin who sent them by mail to me. It's amazing. Really sad the agent does not have a role in MAA2. Peace out.
So just so you know, you can send those on to us. We would really, anybody's got a copy, a physical copy, we've got. I have to check the FDH site, but you contact me. I will give you the address. I have no qualms putting it out into the world. So we'd love some copies of those. Just saying.
Right. Wow.
Not PDFs, although I'd read the PDF. I'm real copies. All right. So sorry I shifted you while I posted a Sinico in there. Jane Foster would be cool. I don't know anything about this female Cap 2099. Had not heard that story.
I hadn't heard about that either.
And Electro should be 15, and Mancha and Winter Soldier should all three be 15s. Those guys, Mancha is your secret ace up the sleeve, man. Once you kind of learn how to outfit him and you learn how to play him at level 15, he is boss. I mean, he's been so good on. That's why I didn't have any issues in Spec Ops Mission 1, because he was a camper. And I already have him 15. I already know how to play him. So he's, I think all three of those should be at the top of your get to 15 list, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Agent Sinico writes in, I just recruited Cammy a moment ago. I'll start leveling her up later today. Hopefully, like most characters, she'll be cooler / better once I can put the ISO crystals on her. And a little brief stop here. I don't know if he messaged me today. Somebody messaged and said at level 9, they already have her to level 9. And she is good with the right crystals. She the whole, maybe it was in the chat earlier. Maybe I saw it, but the of course, the follow up we've talked about is broken. But she actually is a real decent character.
Well, maybe that'll make King enjoy her a little bit more.
And it's rare that I disagree with the King, and he's definitely got his opinions, and he's usually smarter than I am. But on my personal level, I've actually enjoyed teaming up with her. She's been okay. Now with some ISOs on her abilities, maybe the team up submission one will be less of a pain. Funny, all my runaways are level 13, so they do okay, but I wish one of them could heal teammates. Then it'd be easier still.
Yeah, right.
Once I build up the UISO supply, in a few days I'll start farming for the tech greeblies to build the weapons. Luckily, I won the rifle and the daily roulette yesterday. You are lucky. That's nice. Ask Pokeprof if he can do a segment about Shatterstar. I love Shatterstar.
Talk about characters that I forgot were in the game. I forgot Shatterstar was even in the game.
I love him. I never knew his character until the game, ever.
And oh, really?
Reading some of the stuff, or actually, I haven't read any of his stuff. No, I did. I saw him in
the whole Civil Mojoverse War, thing is really cool with Shatterstar and Longshot and Spiral. And
there was one I was reading with Bishop and Scott, and they're hunting down mutants, and Shatterstar was part of that. He's kind of a D-bag in that one, but I like him as a character. So yeah, Pokeprof, if you can make him good again in PvP, that'd be awesome. He's great in PvE. I'll take him out. He's level 15, because he's one of my first 15, so I love him, but he's just not good in PvP. All right, I love Liefeld's X-Force, but in this game, man, I just cannot find any fun in using the Gladiator. I've tried, but nope. The other swords people are some magnitude of fun to play except him, which sucks. So that's Oceanico. And okay. I probably didn't say Liefeld right. Maybe I did.
Liefeld. I think it's Liefeld. Rob Liefeld. Yeah.
Liefeld. Okay. So I'll skip down to the next one I'm supposed to read, and feel free to jump in on this.
I would say read. I don't think you need to do each of the action moves, because
we just kind of glaze over here.
Yeah, I would skip over the moves, but talk about the.
It's worth a read. Everybody needs to go to the website. Yeah, because
that's what I'm saying. We need to have this in the. I'm not going to delete these. I would just say that you can skip.
Gotcha. I think we've actually had these sent to us individually as a tease. We've read these out. Mm-hmm.
We have, yes.
So
it's true. That's true. Yeah, we've actually talked about each of these. Yeah.
So greetings, Agent. This is Agent Averill. If you're reading this first, you're reading the wrong damn order. Go to my other report, then come back later for this. Well, here he is, a hero that needs no introduction. Now, again, apologies. We actually have read the other reports, and this came on like 2 weeks ago, and somehow it got lost in the mix, and I found it today. So, and Averill's been so nice about it. He's not fussed one time. He's not going, where's my email? Right. Nothing. He just kind of waited for us to find the nice candy and go, oh, look at this. Somebody left this here. So this is, we did read the other reports, and this should have been right behind it, and it's my fault that it wasn't. Well, here he is, a hero that needs no introduction, but here's one anyway. Agent, from day one, you've fought some of the baddest villains this world has ever seen. Along the way, you've made yourself an ally of friends and former foes alike. I only trust a select few completely. I'm pleased to say you're now part of that group. Now let's go save our planet. All in quotes. The character is none other than Nick Fury. His class will be Tactician. His passives are Inspiring Leadership. And this is also seemingly a passive. The Director takes 2 actions per turn, slightly higher health and stamina, immune to opportunist debuffs. Will partner with Agent and Quake. I don't know the Quake reference because I know it's not tied to the show, but I do know that the Secret Warriors was a, wasn't that a Nick Fury
thing? Oh, that was, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so I guess I know some things. And then we have read in the past, I'll just read the titles so you'll be familiar. And this whole article will go up on the website this week. Maybe I'll get it up on Facebook as well. Level 1's battle skills is a multifunction. Level 2 initiative is a multifunction. Level 6 is secret agenda with the quotey fingers, keep both eyes open. And that's kind of cool. And then level 9 is Hydra on a helicarrier. And it's explosion range summoned. And it's so badass. It is so cool. Then thanks for your patience. And thank you for your patience for us reading this. This helped take my mind off some things. I'm more at peace now, until PvP decides to put a stop to that. Agent Averill out. So, again, great ride. This would be an amazing character in the game. And perfectly suited to the game. Falls right into, like, Doom and Kang, where they only do limited things. It'd be really cool. I'd like to have it. I'd like, as part of the Director, to add in he can access the agent's thing. But then you won't take him out because he can only partner with the agent in Quake. So what's the point? Sorry.
Right. No, you're fine.
So yeah.
I think that's it, right?
That's it for today. It is right on the nose for time. Look at that.
Perfect.
So any tips, tricks, just until next week?
One tip. If you have an extra buck or two floating around, and you've already donated, of course, to the the Patreon for From the Helicarrier. I encourage you to go check out Soundography on Kickstarter. It's a new podcast that I'm starting up with a guy named Hammond Chamberlain. We take one band and then take you through their whole catalog, their history from start to finish. We're just booking for season one right now. And that's why we've got a very inexpensive Kickstarter going, like the cheapest Kickstarter I've ever done. So check it out. Soundography is the name of the show, and it's on Kickstarter.
Nice. Nice. That's a cool new trend of seasons and saying, yes. Hey, if you want this, we'll do it. Yeah, if you don't want it, that's fine too.
Right.
But yeah, I think you're going to get fully funded if you're not already.
I think so. Yeah. No, we just launched it yesterday. So, and we didn't announce it until today. So,
Brian Ibbett, it could be just, fully funded. You haven't checked it since the show started. I'm just saying.
No, I haven't. That's true. It could be funded by now. But that's it.
So I don't have the Woodard on a button, so I'm going to kind of fake it while Ibbit gets his thing. So I'm like, dum, dum. Hey, just listen up. So, you know, Sketches did it well. Find me over at House of the Bear, which is actually going to be changing its title here in a little bit. Find us on GiantSizeTeamUp.com. That is our network. We have got so many great things going on over there. And I want to talk about breaking the panel. Listen to us. It's Ibbit, myself, Klotz. Klotz is there every week. I'm there every week. Ibbit's there every other week. And sometimes, actually, I do miss. But we're there. We're still the three of us talking together. And you get new voices like Chris Wisdom does an amazing job over there. And then we bring in some guests as well, like Travis Jones and Jason Goss and those kind of things. So check us out. GiantSizeTeamUp.com/breaking the panel. Guys, go listen to it. If you love what we do about From the Helicarrier, you're going to love that show. We're breaking down the news. We're having fun. Check it out.
And with that, the boss and Mission One have fled.